Hello and welcome to the Cosmic Dojo. This is Steph Todd. I'm super excited. Today is a really fun one. We are going to channel the Divine Masculine, Ganesh, and Jesus all in one. We're really bringing in the Divine Masculine, learning from it, how it's supporting us, helping us, where some needs are, different aspects of it. It's a really beautiful meditation. It's a little bit longer, well worth it. If you need to, break it up into chunks. There's a lot of takeaways, so I really am excited for this one. I'm so glad that you can join us, and let's begin. So let's start off by growing our roots. Or imagine if you're a tree, or your water. My third eye is going nuts right now. The earth is doing okay. So what I'm seeing is we're growing our roots. And as we're standing in the circle together, so there's six of us and we're in this circle, and I'm seeing it again where there's a big, beautiful gold heart, that illuminated heart in the middle of all of us. It's a circle that we're standing in. We're holding hands. And I see us as this pillar of light as we hold hands. There's a light that goes from our hands to one another, and it's white. And it's coming into a pink color as it goes from our hearts to one another. And then also from our hearts to the gold heart in the center. It's interesting because Kuan Yin stepped in, and so she's lifting us up in spirit. She's bringing us to the place where we will commune. So with the roots going back, what I was seeing was growing our roots deep into the earth. In, through, and around the crystalline grid. And it's interesting. So this is where the earth, where she gets, so there's two earths we're looking at. And I'm guided to share that they feel like one is masculine, one is feminine. And it's not the Venus or Mars energies that step in. I'm interested in, yeah, okay. So they are saying it is the two earths. One is masculine, masculinity on earth. So if we can imagine connecting to the heart chakra of the masculine earth, and connecting deep into that crystal cave inside the earth, or whatever your middle earth looks like. Okay. Let's go ahead and intend that we ground from above. Connect our crown chakra with the heavens, the higher realms, to source, to all that is. And in today, opening up sacred space, asking and intending that all answers be of divine truth, and that they be for our best or better, and the good of all. And it's interesting because in the sacred space, I am seeing the cardinal directions above, below, within, the elements. They're also bringing in a lot of the Hindu deities or gods and goddesses. They just said the representatives of all aspects of life. That's pretty cool. So go ahead and call on your guides, your teachers, angels, any beings of light, anyone else that you wish to be with today and connect with. So my team, they're like, cue in standing. Jesus is next. So he's already here waiting to speak with us. And this reminds me a lot of when we channeled Buddha, and I'd asked Buddha if he was the same as Jesus, and he said no. And then what he showed me were the different colors, like they're the different beings from the same soul pod. I think that's why Jesus comes in so clear in connection with Ganesh. Because there's that ascended mastery, vibration, and frequency. But they're also here as teachers. And they're saying that today, actually, we're going to be putting on the lens, or the filter as a teacher. So we're going to learn and experience, but they're also looking at us like we are the teachers. And this is like a peer meeting. We are with other teachers. And here on Earth, everything that we're learning. So we're always the student, we're always the teacher. But it's really highlighting that teacher aspect within us. A lot of our souls just perked up. I saw a lot of colors illuminated with the word teacher. It's very beautiful. So I see it as like a blue. It's kind of a teal, and then it turns into an electric blue. And I see that aspect in all of us here. So asking that those parts of ourselves adhere to that of which serves us today. And then also too, in how we can be of help, how we can give back. They're saying the beautiful guidance and wisdom that we have and share today is what we hold as the light keepers to teach and help others. And Ganesh, as we understand him, so where I'm at, we've opened up sacred space. I just wanted to back up here for a second. And then Kuan Yin. So what she showed me, it was almost like a tea room. I was seeing us sitting on the floor, very comfortable place, very luxurious. Lots of beautiful colors and textures on the walls. A lot of beautiful fabrics. Oh. And they just showed me in the inner world and Earth, there's also a place where we're able to connect to this realm where the ascended masters are. And it doesn't look like the crystal caves or the crystal worlds or realms that I see. It's like a little offshoot. It's this unsuspecting door that you open, and it's a whole nother realm. So if you can imagine if it's in a tunnel, a cave, if it's in an underground room, or maybe it's in a part of an island, maybe a desolate island, it's unpopulated. Maybe you imagine there's a hut there, you walk inside. But they're asking you to pay attention because there's another roadmap, another piece to this puzzle that they're wanting us to bring in. That's your access point. That's your ability to come back here and to connect. And so we're all settled down, and Ganesh, I feel his presence really coming in. And he talks about being a part of these beings, why he looks so different. And he's sharing that there's different aspects, there's different parts of us within him, but he can also be that strong boundary keeper. He can be a person that we can talk to and ask for guidance, because he's saying that he's understood life, he's understood the earth, the realities, the densities, the experiences here on Earth in different lifetimes, different life forms. And he connects with that part of us that's the ability to, he's saying, to manifest But what I'm shown is that it's to be able to understand and explore ourselves and continue to grow. So he's showing me more in the sense of ourself and the explorative lessons or the means or the intentions, the self-mastery is what he calls it. And he's saying the teacher aspect within us is risen up in color and vibration. It's because we've been here before and he's been with us through many lifetimes. We have a direct connection with him. And he's saying it's easy for people to believe in things that seem silly because there's aspects of him that aren't human. Having the elephant's face. He's saying that there's the ability to come in and bring about different frequencies, vibrations, ways he looks. He's saying that by being an elephant, it's very disarming for people. And they can understand something because there's so many miracles. There's so many things that happen. And they allow these things to happen in their lives because they look at a visual or a picture of Ganesh and they feel that connection. But he's saying when in actuality, they're doing a lot of the work themselves. I'm helping point out the things they already know or maybe is blocked. I remove that. I allow them to see the clarity and the light within themselves. Sometimes they don't want to see it. But what I do is come in to help. And it's not like he's doing the work, he's saying. It's just that there's things that we put on ourselves or the constructs, the conditioning of what we think or feel on this earth comes to a point where we don't know where to go. We don't know how to think outside the box. We don't even realize there is a box. And he's saying it's not just that. He's bringing in, there's a Christ and a Buddha consciousness that comes with him. This is his connection as an ascended master. He has a frequency to them. And he's saying it's kind of like when little girls or little boys, they like their stuffed animals. They have such a connection with these stuffed animals. It's almost like his form. He comes through for adults. It's very soft, disarming. He's even saying ego is the illusion. Ego is what we think that there's that structural, the footprints that we have to follow. Ego was meant to be at a point in time to give us some of the basics. Ego is also where instincts are. But it's also helped so many people in different situations. It's not that ego is bad. It's knowing that you have ego is what our journey is. So whether we judge ourselves for having ego, coming from ego, whatever that is, he's saying that's the beautiful part about it. You're aware now. You get to choose and decide. You get to pick your adventures. He's saying like you can come through with heart. You can come through with ego. You can combine and blend the both of them. And you'll get different outcomes or experiences based on where you're coming from, your viewpoint. He's saying that's what the self-mastery is about. It's being able to put on, as we were talking about, the many different costumes. We can be different times and places. We're bringing on a frequency here in the material world, the dense world of Earth. Changing into costume for us is visually when we see and feel it. And we're able to channel that. So he's saying, you're able to channel me. But then he said me, and he's looking around and he's meaning us because he's with a lot of spirits, helpful spirits. So he's saying when you're channeling us, you're just getting different aspects of yourself. This is all an idea to explore yourself through these different images and pictures. When you decide that somebody or a stone does a certain something for you, That is your imprint. That is your impression. And over time in development, it's trust, or you know where they're standing. You know what it is for you. You know how it's healing. And you go to that person, you go to that deity, to that stone, that crystal. And it's helping. He's saying this is the same thing. We're allowing ourselves to wear these different costumes through the viewpoints of what we think this stone or this person will do for us, for healing, for knowledge, wisdom, guidance. So he's like, all right, well, you want to do what I do? Come on in. And then he's showing me growing our trunks out. So he's wanting us to play with this, just to have that feeling of an energetic trunk growing from your face, growing it down. I feel like I can smell everything. And it's funny, I feel like we're standing around like, oh my gosh, look at your face. We're all looking at each other with these big trunks. Look how long mine is. And he's saying that energetic trunk, what the point of this is not just to wear it and feel it, to be or explore what he feels or energetically when he shows up, his vibration. He's saying it's an extension of our senses. You can psychically sniff things out with this trunk. He's saying how playful it is that you can be. And he's pointing to all the different chakras that are on the trunk. And he's like, it's pretty hard to be mad at somebody when they got a big, long nose on their face. He's saying that there's a part of what people understand with him is that he looks very trustworthy. He just looks like something that's not fierce or predatory. He's saying he comes in with his gentleness. Again, because he can understand the obstacles, the things that we are going through. But he's saying he's not just with us here on Earth. We're going through some other things too in other places of the universe that he also guides and assists us with. He said the beautiful people that understand him for who he is and accept him, he's not just one of the many. But he really stands out because there's a lot that have heart, this heart energy, this heart connection with him. And he's saying to the core, that's really where he's coming from, is helping the heart to open up. He's saying when the heart opens up, the mind has to choose. That's where his strong suit is, because that's him coming in to show us there's an option, but it doesn't mean that we're in a fork in the road. He's always saying that we can always have choices within those choices. Sometimes we need things a little bit slower or at a pace that's easier for us to accept. But there's still choices. And what he does is he comes in, and it's that I've heard of him being the remover of obstacles, but he's saying that it's really, what if he takes out the element without that needing to be right or wrong? What if you can make both decisions and still be right? He's saying the path that we lead, where we're going, we think that we're aimlessly making decisions, but a lot of times our team is here to help us, and calling on them will help us get to those answers, the conclusions, get to know where it is we're going. He's saying a lot of us need that roadmap. He's like, I don't mind. I completely understand that. But he's also saying along that journey, while looking at that map, when do we look up? When do we allow change? Do we only change things because it's come upon us or we're forced to make a decision?
How often do we make changes? Is it if something is done with its time? Has it stopped serving us? Are we getting bored with it? He's saying there's so many different things that we make choices based on what we've felt is the end of its cycle or its life. But at any time, we can make a choice and change or remove that barrier to know we can make many decisions at any one time. He's saying it's not easy to do, but it's really that openness is what we're channeling, that being open to whatever is coming in as we've intended it, that it come in. There's a lot that we're going through that it's not able for us to see that perspective, the bird's eye point of view. He's showing us that we go within, and these are usually those hard decisions that we have to make, and he softens them because it's that heart and that beautiful Christ and Buddha consciousness that comes in that gives us that warmth. He's saying that stability. The idea to come in and be compassionate with yourself. He's saying that's his heart frequency. And it feels like a lot of what he's sharing is that there's ideas, that there's platforms, there's different levels we can go on to. It's almost like I'm looking at a dollhouse where the one side is completely open. You can put all the furniture and all the pieces in. But he's showing us that there's, if you're in a building or if you're in a little dollhouse, it has the same concept. So the one side is open. And he's showing me that we're on so many different levels with things. Intellectually, emotionally, our gifts, there's so many different pieces that we've connected and know very much about ourselves. Then there's other pieces that we've always walked by something and thought, oh, that's pretty, or I'll just keep it here, but we don't know why. He's saying sometimes these obstacles are about backtracking and going back to look at things, to be present with things. Sometimes it's come up as a perceived obstacle because it's what we've come into. There's a point that's needing attention, needing our presence. It's not just about making a decision. Sometimes we're trying to get our own attention. And he's giving us a little silver coin. It's probably, I'd say a little bit bigger than a silver dollar. It's interesting because it's silver on one side and then it's blue on the other. It's this beautiful, shiny. It's interesting because the face of the coin for me, it's continually changing images. So he's saying for you, put an image on the coin or on both sides. He's saying it's not to flip the coin to always make that decision, heads or tails. He's saying it can also be something where what is the guidance? What is needed? And you can ask the coin, you can ask to flip it. And when it lands, you can ask the coin for guidance to show you an image. And he's saying a lot of times we have things in our pocket. We don't realize how much it's helping us, how much we're carrying with us vibrationally. Sometimes we need that little ally or we need that support to come in. But that's the thing. He's saying it doesn't have to stay where it's at. So we're creatures of habit. We like things where we do our comfort zones, our houses, that where things are put or set, furniture, decorations, art on the walls. But what if there are things that in our lives that we can change up in terms of making it fun, bring in more joy? None of this is meant to introduce stress. It's the concept of, oh, what if I were to move this over here today? Or what if I were, it's kind of exploring your environment or maybe your wardrobe. How do you feel in certain colors? What is it that you're drawn to? And Ganesh, a lot of what he's saying is that the stars, where he comes from, a lot of this, there, it's, he gets it. He's saying sometimes it doesn't make sense. But outwardly, we have to get things set up in our environment in order to accept what is. So it's in a way giving ourselves permission. Okay, once the beds are made, the house is tidied up, then I can relax. Or once I get this furniture, once I get this in the place, the house, that there's things that we give ourselves a then we can scenario. Is even saying with the self-cares, it's kind of the same thing. We might be out of our Epsom salt, our favorite oil. We might be out of something. And we'll delay maybe that salt bath, or we'll delay that self-care because we don't have the things in place first that helps us get there. He's saying with your trunks now, like a rose bath, say you're out of your rose oil or your rose petals. He's saying, call them into your space. Use your trunk. Smell that rose. Remember that rose scent, the essence of it, how beautiful it is. And then still give yourself that break. Go ahead and take your bath. Or go ahead and go to that park and sit on the bench. Maybe you can't find your favorite hiking shoes, or maybe he's saying, whatever that is, don't let things stop you. This is what he does. He helps bring in and introduce new ideas, or you know what? It's good for now. It works. Just go with what you've got. Because he's showing us that removing obstacles, it's not just about things that are perceptions. He's saying there are also physical things. We can't move forward until. We can't do these things because. He's saying that's our conditioning. That's a lot of what we're unlearning right now. And removing that idea, that concept, is so freeing and liberating. He's saying a lot of what we do, it's also very much on how we see ourselves. So if, you know, a lot of us are healers, we might have a lot of healing tools. What if you're going to work on somebody or send them love and you don't have your favorite stone around? Or you don't have the physical things? He's saying, reach up. Or grab that coin, flip the coin. What image comes up? What do you need in that moment? What does that other person need in that moment? You can allow the coins, images to share with you some guidance, direction. And he's saying, look up, as in, it's like this, it kind of looks like space debris floating around, but we're kind of picking like a buffet, kind of just reaching up, grabbing these things, bringing them into our reality. Because these are the tools, these are the physical things that we're wanting to see in order to make do with what it is we're working on, the task, the chore, the ritual. You're saying removing obstacles, a lot of times it's just removing the concept of obstacle itself. And he's saying, even though you're human, but you can imagine that trunk and that thrashing of your trunk, making way, making room for something. He's saying a lot of the ideas of what obstacles are man-made. He's showing us that life is it's on its flowing vibration, it's fluid. We come to a point, we come to a peak, we do this, we do that. Everything within our day, we're little manifestors. But he's asking, where in your life is your obstacle right now? And he's saying it's like that beautiful Apu of each of us are having our own mountains. It doesn't mean it's the mountain to climb. It's knowing there's always a passageway through it. A safe passage. We take on things for that reward, that thinking there's going to be something greater at the end. Look what I have achieved. And he's saying there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that we have to get off our bottoms. We have to get up and do some things that it's a little bit more challenging ourselves because we're learning different things about ourselves. Perseverance that, wow, I can't believe I did this today. When we're forced to, we feel, go through situations and we come out on top or we come out with, wow, I handled this so well. I didn't see this coming. I didn't. Sometimes that's what it feels like. The obstacles are wanted or drawn into our reality because it forces us to either be our best versions of ourselves or puts us in check. It shows us where we are or aren't. Maybe good at handling something or not showing up for ourselves. Maybe we're stuck in judgment. But he's saying backwards and forwards obstacles, it's what we need it to be. It can be very healing and purposeful. It can be like your mental boot camp, spiritual boot camp. You've given your time, your dedication, you're moving forward with it. And look at the growth, the respect you have for yourself. You showed up for yourself. You did the things, whether you wanted to or not. He's saying obstacles themselves are not bad. A lot of times they're needed. But again, it's in the context of where we're coming from, what we're facing, what things are coming in. Okay, and he said, let's talk about that authenticity for a while. Authenticity. So what he's saying is that there's a part of us that we're wanting to grow, we're wanting to be. There's a self-acceptance. There's a looking back and, wow, I'm this now. I am not that. Or I resonate with this. I no longer belong to or feel. Talking about dimmed lights within ourselves. He was saying that that's okay. There's a viewed obstacle we were challenged or facing. We were in situations that we felt we had to be something in order for us to receive that acceptance or not rock the boat. Or we didn't know ourselves well enough. We weren't ready to step out. A lot of growth. But he's saying dimming the light. So when we're able to come out and be ourselves and we're unapologetic, he's saying some of us don't like confrontation. Some of us want to grow in the ways we wish to. We don't want to attract the attention or get the questions. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? He's saying, like your team, you can send it before you, but he's showing me that back and forth, that motion of moving a trunk. That act of moving the trunk is setting and paving the way for you, that when you're in your growth and you're changing. So ideas, images, maybe you're changing, you're growing in a way you don't know yourself. You're growing in places that it's a little uncomfortable. With this trunk, he's showing me there's this blue line of light that's behind us as we're paving the way with our trunk. And it's kind of funny. It looks like snow. To me, it reminds me of a snow plow. And paving that way on the side, the snow banks, that's our team. We're asking people of light to stand up for us, to help shine their light through us, our light through them, being guided, understanding that we want and feel this acceptance. We accept ourselves now, but it's not like we use people to get where we're at. We were with people vibrationally for how long we needed to be, but this is more about accepting ourselves and those aspects of ourselves, because we were once where they were, or we once felt unsure or insecure. We were vulnerable. There was a lot of growth and growing, a lot we didn't understand. Sometimes it's okay. Those people, they're safety for us. They accept us for us. He's saying, no, it's not a responsibility to come in and make sure that that's what they see all the time. That's not life. That's not reality. Everything changes. And if there's a time where you're feeling stuck, you can ask that coin to come out to help show you the guidance. Flip the coin, see what image comes up, or a feeling, a knowing. Maybe on the image, it's another deity, a god or goddess, an ascended master. Maybe it's an arrow. Telling you to take that right turn on a very comfortable and familiar path moving forward. Take an unexpected right turn. See what happens. And then Jesus is here, and he's been with Ganesh, and he's nodding a little bit. Some of this conversation, he's kind of in the background, but he steps forward now, and he's bringing in that overall. He was saying, you spoke of divine masculine and what that feels like. So he's sharing the idea of masculinity being that security. We think of masculine. But what does it feel like for you right now? Call in that divine masculine. And notice what you feel, what you think. A part of it for me, I feel that there's instincts, a part of accepting challenges, loving new adventures, opportunities. Divine masculine, it feels very comforting and securing, like a grounding rock, a support system, a protector. Looking out for us, our safety, our well-being. It feels like lifting us up in support, allowing our lights to shine. Full acceptance of self. Whatever else you're feeling, or if it's something completely different. Jesus asks, what is divine masculine for us? And I'm asking him, why the divine in front of it? What does that mean specifically versus feminine and masculine? And he's sharing with the divine part of it, there's a piece that comes from a higher perspective, a higher knowing that allows the heart to stay open while we can still employ ego if needed. So he's saying the divine is a part of our blueprints. It's a part of our soul journey, our soul group, our soul's frequency. And it's the aspect of staying connected with source while having this earth experience. He's saying in our context, in our reality, divine, it's more broad. And it just is. Versus masculine and feminine, we think very much of roles. We think gender. We think someone maybe is very macho, or we have an archetype that we feel that's masculine. And it can be limiting because an effeminate masculine male is viewed as someone that's maybe weak, or they're sensitive. So there's a lot of labels. There's a lot that we point out. There is patterning, but more somebody that's coming from a viewpoint when there's the divinity aspect within that. So within that word, that description, that understanding, it's almost like a knowing. It just takes away some of that judgment. That divine aspect is a part of us, whether we call it masculine or feminine. And so Jesus steps forward and he's like, it is a Good Friday. And he's a smart ass, just saying. But he's showing me that this wonderful description, what Ganesh had explained, a lot of this is about being able to have this part of us that we can understand, that human aspect. We can understand we are trying to grow in a time or a world that feels like it's so divided. So much is going on around us. How do we stay centered? Sometimes that divine masculine energy coming in is helping. Maybe it's a rainy day and like a gentleman putting his coat over our shoulders, keeping us warm, looking out for us. There's a part within ourselves wanting to nurture ourselves, but also be that strong warrior and come out and do what we need to do. It's our struggle. It's our fight. That's whatever is going on in the moment and pulling from different aspects of ourselves. That's what our innate ability to be both is, both sides, feminine, masculine. And he's showing me it's, if you want to think of it as a triangle, if divinity is on top, that's the more all-knowing, that's above ego. and then masculine and feminine. There's a lot of these aspects that what we're doing is we're also trying to combine what we think something is and what we feel, what we no longer need anymore, how we're growing. A lot of what we're doing is coming to understand that we've outgrown some things. We don't have to put it into a conformity or a place where it is feminine, it is masculine. We are all. There's a really beautiful white heart that Jesus, so I'm seeing him give us. It's a very, very beautifully illuminated. It looks like a crystal quartz. It's almost glass-like. It's so pure in clarity. He's asking that if we wish, we can accept this heart from him. Bring it into our heart chakras. And with his divine love and healing, he's also putting his hand over our third eyes, so our whole forehead. He's cupping his hand and resting it on our forehead. He's saying what this is about. It's releasing what's not serving us. But he's showing me it's an attunement. He's saying it is with the Christ and the Buddha consciousness, with Source, with Creator. This attunement helps us to remember that we are those creators. We can create what we wish for ourselves. In these aspects and learning, what he's saying is that a lot of it for us is harder to understand because we've had so much programming put within us. This attunement is helping to break that up. Our Ganesh is dissolving some of those obstacles, mental barriers. He's even showing me, Jesus is showing me that a lot of us can wear different masks around people. And he's showing me that what if it's just one or two masks that we're going to wear now? What is the judgment around change? Why do we feel judged when we change, when we're not the same, even when it's good and people are happy for us? What is it about that? And he's showing me a couple of things, but it looks like there's some self-acceptance pieces here because that role that we've played felt we had to play. Something that we painted in our mind, the story we're telling ourselves. Sometimes things are scary. And that was our way to bring in a divine masculine energy to tell us things are okay right now because we needed it. But it's also time that we can let things go. In the healing aspect of us, he's saying is there's a connection to us, why we're here and the teachers that we are. It's about being able to transform and be those beautiful butterflies. Because people, he's saying it's harder for them to accept or to understand there's growth that they can also take. That can be their path or their journey, and they're afraid to, or they're not sure they can. They've made decisions that they feel won't allow them to change, to grow, to be different. They lose that identity. They lose the power. And these are all perceived losses, he's noting. We can take anything and make it more. So sometimes if we're stuck in a situation, he's saying that you can bring in love. You can bring in a different aspect of something. That's that making it more. We can get through some of those things that we want to while also exploring other parts of ourselves and not shutting ourselves off. That's where Ganesh comes in, and he's saying, that's exactly what I'm doing. It's removing these little blocks that we think that we have to compartmentalize and be certain things at certain times. And he's saying, by removing these blocks, these different brain patternings, what we're doing is merging all sides and aspects of ourselves with our highest self. And taking out the judgment. And that fatherly, that loving light. Jesus talks about that light coming in because a lot of times there's rough patches, there's hardships, traumas, things we're going through emotionally. We have a harder time. And we need those arms to fall into, to hold us and support us. That beautiful message that Jesus tells us is that it's okay to be in ego or heart or divine masculine or feminine. It's never a bad thing. Again, he shares that sometimes people are meant to be where they're at. They aren't meant for growth and the way you're growing. Sometimes it's about being able to understand different sides of yourself, thinking it's going to be a longer journey when all of a sudden it just is. You've manifested that quickly. You've allowed those doors of yourself to open and you're free to be and express. So that aspect of you or that new change, it's who you are in that moment. And he's saying growth is unlimited and it's our abilities here on earth. That's why we have so many emotions, because we can wear different colors. We can wear different aspects of ourselves through this same journey. That's a part of the growth. But then it's also about being able to anchor that divine light here onto the earth. So the higher the light we hold, the more that love and that acceptance spreads to others around us. He's saying, isn't that the journey? Don't you just want to go somewhere and always feel loved, warm, feel welcomed? Have conversations with people. Give experiences, perceptions, perspectives, and share and unite in curiosity without judgment and arguments. He's saying a part of what we're doing is we're understanding there's that utopia, that heavenly, blissful experience in living. And that's what it is that we are bringing to the earth. Why we feel so challenged, because a lot of people aren't called to do this right now, collectively. A lot of the way showers, what we're here is channeling, really accessing this beautiful light. And being in alignment with what is truth, being in an alignment with source and creator is also being in alignment with ourselves. Maybe obstacles are still the same, but they're completely different at the same time. maybe an obstacle that once was a bringer of hardships or forceful growth in a situation. It was stressful. Maybe an obstacle now is how many people can I love and send love to? That paying it forward, smiling, radiating out. As much of this purity that we feel, that we exude. How beautiful is that to leave a lasting impression with an anonymous gesture, smiling at a complete stranger, paying for their coffee, allowing them in to cut in front of you. He's saying it's not the do-good work here that what we think being a light worker is. He's saying love is. It's love doing the work. Love is unconditional. Someone's upset, wanting to flip you off. Maybe they cut you off in traffic. They're having a bad day. They want to turn that anger on you. He's saying that can be an obstacle. That can also be a way to show them love. And just blast it out from your heart. And it's without expectations, too. He does say that there's a lot of changes that we're making, but being less attached to those outcomes or to those answers or how it worked out for the person, how it helped them. He's saying by being less attached to that, it's just allowing you that motivation to keep doing. It's that organic drive to be compassionate and loving to yourself and those around you that don't have that for themselves or can't in that moment. Maybe you can turn your color, your aura, a color that can help soften their color, their anger, their emotion. There's a lot of beauty here, and he's saying that it's our ability to come in with divine masculine, divine feminine, because it's how we work. There's a counter, an inner and outer, up and the down. A lot of different things that we have that in our reality, it's dualistic. But he's saying even in that duality, there's many, many realms within each realm. It's unlimited. He's saying if you had that unlimited divine masculine supportive and loving energy at your side all the time, how would that feel for you? What does that look like? Do you feel supported and empowered? Maybe accepted. Whatever it is that you feel, it can be that or more. He's saying a part of the divine masculine. It's also about not holding judgment. We live in a lot of masculine times right now. And a part of that, not understanding the feminine aspect, its need, the role it plays. Us bringing in through our female bodies, really bringing in this divine masculine, it helps to counter, it helps to balance. And the more balanced and centered we can be, the more that we can accept ourselves and others and permeate that balancing energy. And Jesus reminds us that there's a lot that we're doing, and it's just one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, but just to stop and smell the roses, have the joys, have the fun, be able to be ourselves. It doesn't have to be so serious. Jesus comes in. He's always a big clown. He's very funny. Cracks a lot of jokes. He's sharing with us that if we could see ourselves through his eyes, there wouldn't be much of judgment. There wouldn't be a lot of what these struggles or perceptive struggles that we go through, that we feel we're going through. Because if we hit an understanding, some of us, it's a little harder to understand. We are caught up in feelings, our emotions, emotional patterns, sensitivities, triggers. He's saying that's a part of our bodies, though. There's a lot that we're releasing, and this divine masculine can help release these emotions. It can help release a lot if we call it in. He's saying you can call it into your sacred space. You can call in the divine masculine and the feminine and ask them to go to work on you or for your client and to help you really bring in that balance. And that's what I love about the pairs. So Ganesh comes in and it's like this perceived the illusion of an obstacle. He removes it. And then it allows, it's like I'm seeing these waters and they're allowing the balance to come in. So they're even now. So it's kind of a 1-2-step process. Sometimes we can just expedite that. Other times I feel like we can come in and we manually have to really work at some of these things, these constructs, these bare bones, even times, these thoughts that we have. Or the archetypes, who we are. Sometimes we really have to work at taking that one brick out at a time to break down that wall. And it's beautiful. So I'm seeing there's sacred geometry here with us. And some of these symbols, what Jesus is using, they're going right into our crowns. It's like our crowns are wide open. It's this beautiful, like, it's kind of a yellow-white energy that I'm seeing at the tops of our crowns. And these different symbols, these different things that I'm seeing, these shapes, they're hard to explain. Some of them do look like light code language. It's hard to make out. But our souls are each getting what they need from this attunement. We are getting the feelings, the senses, the direction. From this day forward, it will come in clearer for us. It will help us. He's saying it will soothe us. Ooh. I felt a little sharp pain in the top of my head here. I was like, knowing me, I probably wanted all the signs. It's probably like getting stuck in my head. Like, okay, one at a time, one at a time. Okay. So, of course, with our higher selves, asking that we integrate all said symbols, signs, and the attunements, to be for our best or better, to be modulated and integrated within us. That works at a pace. That we can best handle. Huh. And then Jesus comes around now. He's such a smart ass. But he kind of came in like Red Riding Hood. So I'm seeing this big cloak, this big Red Riding Hood cloak on him. And then he has this basket. But what he's pulling out in this basket is a feather. And he's handing each of us a white feather. And he's serious for a moment here. He's like, okay, so this feather represents the lightness and the beauty that you have and hold within you. And it's also the lightness and the beauty as I see you. I said, don't forget. So it's almost that aspect of they want us to see ourselves through their eyes, that we're so much more than we give ourselves credit for. We're so much more than we can know about. And he's saying, through our eyes, it's easier to accept yourselves. Because you are the divine masculine and the feminine. You are your creator self. And it helps to channel and hold that unconditional love. So we're coming to a close. They're thanking us so much for this beautiful journey with them today. Ganesh is giving us a little kiss on the forehead with his trunk. I love that. And I'm even being silly. It's like if you can put ink on his nose, the end of his nose, and then it leaves a little mark in my third eye. And there's so much more that they can go into. They were saying that this for us right now and what we're going through, it's been a little bit energetically of a tough goal for us. There's been a lot we've been moving through. They'd love to come back and share a lot more with us. But so for now, thanking them for all their beautiful wisdom. And who they are for being them, for helping show us our true selves. And that's this trail of this gold light. So as we're coming back into that circle, all of us are coming back down from where we were journeying. I'm seeing us come back to this beautiful field. It's this patch, this pasture, and this beautiful, it was just such a backdrop of all these wild flowers. There's a sunset, there's a bonfire going. And as we all sit around, we're coming back into our bodies, coming back down, thanking all our teachers, the ascended masters, ourselves and our higher selves. Thanking all those that came in today. thinking the two earths, the elements, the cardinal directions, our teams. And then I just saw the two earths merge again into one. And that beautiful gold light in between us, where all of our hearts merge. This light source, it's pouring in a little bit more gold light into our hearts. Okay. And as we further, we come down into our bodies, bringing in gratitude, thinking Ganesh and Jesus, everyone else. Okay. If you can imagine coming back into your body even more, you can start to move around. Move your hands, feet, legs, arms, toes, and fingers. All right. Open your eyes when you're ready.